Well, I feel like I'm from a different part of the country or different country since it's all been in the West. Got a little bit of a presentation here for you from the eastern part of the U.S. The research here is actually an accumulation of a couple of decades. Haven't done it for the last several years because of funding issues. Canola money didn't go east here in the last 2013 and 2014. But I thought it would be a good time to show what have we learned in the last couple of decades as far as growing canola east of the Mississippi and northern Ohio. So some talking points I'd like to have today. I'd like to discuss a historical background for winter canola in Ohio, and then also kind of give an overview. And it's always difficult. How do you try to take performance plot data and put that in a summary statement here? So we're going to try that to address some of the questions that our growers had in our area, and hopefully maybe to show you how we think it adapts to the Eastern Corn Belt. Historically, when canola was approved by FDA for human food back in the late 80s, there was a big push by the industry in the early 90s in Ohio as far as trying it as a crop. The growers were promised that if you could grow wheat, you could grow canola. I think, of course, we got soft red winter wheat where we are. That's not quite true, but it was a good selling point. A lot of farmers tried it. We had a couple of really bad winters in the early 90s, and so they got soured on it as far as the performance of the varieties that they had. And then the second thing was the markets that they were promised that the crushers would develop did not appear, and they had to go a long distance to get rid of their crop, and so those two factors really had a lot of people soured on canola in our region. So the question the producer still asked, are there varieties that are adapted to Ohio conditions? And then, of course, if there are, what are the management practices? Because it really was a new crop, and what's a potential market? And that's what I would like to show with our performance trials here. Even though that the market did not get created because of the issues I've already described, to answer that question, are varieties adapted? There's a consortium between four states there, Southern Illinois, Michigan State, Purdue, and Ohio State, to continue testing varieties to address that, because we did feel like there was we needed another crop in that area. We needed another winter crop besides wheat, and so we were trying to address that question. We did a switch, though. So the seed was got from different places, and that in cooperation of those four states, it was a challenge in the early 1990s to get seed. Very few varieties, probably no more than 12 being tested. And then, of course, in the mid-2000s, we switched over in Ohio, at least, to participate in the national winter canola performance test, which greatly improved. You'll see that in the data here, the improvement in genetics coming in and more opportunity. And that moved the testing period from having 12 varieties being tested all the way up to almost 60 during some years. Testing locations. There are three locations in Ohio we looked at. I break this up what I call the Schmidt years and the Lynch years, because Walter Schmidt really is kind of the father of doing testing work in Ohio, and I'm going to include his data with this. As you can see, that was primarily in the 90s. I came in the late 90s working with Walter, and I took it over completely in the mid-2000s on there. We've had three sites. You might say it's all in northern Ohio, but for winter canola, we need to follow winter wheat. That's the major wheat growing areas of Ohio in the northern part of the state. Those are different soil types, so even though you might think geographically they're so similar, they're quite a bit different as far as the soil. We got the Custer site is a clay. It's a silt clay loam at the Fremont site, and Wooster is a silt loam. So we really do have some very different environments, even though latitude-wise they may not be that different in your mind. As I said, in the trials, we evaluated anywhere from 50 to 60 varieties. The Custer site always had the most varieties. Fremont always had reduced. The Wooster site was earlier years, so it always had a smaller amount of numbers. We planted in the early part of September. The harvest is in early July. And so the harvest is about the same time as wheat, but we had to plant about 30 days earlier than wheat to get good establishment and get it through the winter. We always use starter in, and we put anywhere from 100 to 120. In fact, it was always 120 toward the end, because we found out that the statement also was made that canola needed no more nitrogen than wheat. That was not correct. It needs more nitrogen than wheat. And so it was 120 to 140 in the later studies. That small plots, 10 feet wide, seven rows, 7.5 inches apart. and about 20 to 30 feet long. And just three replications, that was always kind of the problem. Seed limitation, so it's done in three replications, and like anything else, there are certain years, if you would have had four, you could have done the study, but you always lost one rep or had part of that rep that was questionable, and you're only down to two reps, and so you lost the site. Just a simple note about whenever we tested these. All the results of these, particularly from the mid-2000s, are all out of K-State in the winter performance trials for the Ohio locations. So how do you measure whether a crop is adapted to an area? You know, that's what the producers ask. To me, there was two questions that we answered this with. Winter survival, which a lot of people have talked about here, and I think that's, you know, if you don't have a crop the following spring, it's pretty obvious this is not something working for us. And then, of course, what's your yield? So we can look at the economics. If I do have a crop, is it going to pay for itself where we can justify growing it compared to other crops? And just to show you the survival rate on here at the different locations, you can see at the Fremont location, 11 out of 13 years. We had a long testing period there. The Wooster site had probably the least amount. The Wooster site also had logistical issues with getting harvesting equipment, other things. And I put that in there, storm destroyed. You know, that's that extra time trying to get the combine to the site and that. And that's one of the reasons why we dropped that site later on there. So to me, I point that out because to me, that's not a natural event. Even though it was a natural event, it was not something you would think occur frequently. And also, if you could harvest it timely, it probably would not have occurred. And that's it's a learning curve with that crop. And then the Custer site, my predecessor said, we can never grow this on clay. He discontinued it. I brought it back, and I've had probably more success on the Hoyt Custer site than I did at the Fremont site in working with this. But its site selection and planting date are so much more critical when you work with the clay soils. And I put in here, to keep this overall in mind, there were 3 years that the winter was severe enough we even had issues with wheat. And so anybody growing any winter crop, so I'm not going to hold that against canola. I mean, you can put that in statistics. It's going to show up in those percentages, but 3 years there, to me, it didn't matter which crop, whether it be alfalfa, wheat, or you had issues there. And so to me, that's not a strike against canola to bring it in as a new crop. I want to show you the graph here of all the different sites. You can see the triangles. That's the Wooster sites. I call it the learning years, the early 1900s. Not early 1900s, early 1990s. And the red line is the average over all the sites, what's our canola average, just to kind of give you an idea what those sites did. And then the blue vertical line is that's when we switched over only using the seed provided by the winter performance trials. To me, it brought in a lot more consistency. We had more varieties. And, of course, I think it shows the progressive development of varieties available to producers and people to test in there. And as you can see, we got much more consistent dots above that average line as we go later than earlier. If we want to look at, everybody wants to say who's king of the hill, what could be the most I would get, that's what this next slide is showing here. What is the net maximum yield we got per site? So that would be just one variety. What was the maximum we got out of one variety's averages for a given location? You can see we got up as far as 5,000 pounds per acre. And, of course, as the early years, we were quite a bit low down there at the 1,200 pounds. So it's a variation, but what I like to see here, you can really see the dots looking much better. In that comment, you can't grow it in clay soil, so you can see we got very good yields on the clay soil there. Do want to keep in mind, if you look at the last two blue squares there, 2011, 2012, where the Custer site really dropped. To me, once again, this is a weather extreme, and it's unfortunate that you kind of end your basketball career or football career on a losing record, because this, when we entered this, we had our lowest yields we probably had in a long time. And just look at the Custer site alone to show you, whether it be global warming or climate change, whichever one you mentioned, we definitely had some weather extremes that occurred there in the end. And that really accounts for those canola yields. For myself, it speaks very well for the crop that in very adverse conditions, we still had a crop and we still had something to yield. For example, to show you that weather changes in 2011, we had 8 inches more than normal for April to May than other years. We had the most rainfall ever on record, and we actually still had a crop there. That's also when you hear about Lake Erie and algae and phosphorus issues. That all kicked off with 2011 is the starting point for all that. 2012, we were dry like the rest of you, but the biggest factor for us in 2012 it was unseasonably warm, and things bolted really early. In fact, the last 6 years of this study, and we'll show you some graphs here, they were warmer than normal. Some people would say we don't have winter injury now because we're warmer, and so we don't have to have as tough of varieties out there. Just to show you some of these things here, this is that rainfall mean. If you look at that top line from March through May, that's that 2011. Look how significant the rainfall was. We could never get a fertilizer spreader across the plots. We found out of desperation that was hand-applied to get fertilizer. That's how wet it was. You could never even drive across the plots on there. In fact, that probably is why those yields dropped in there, is because of the nitrogen loss and late nitrogen application could be a major factor in there. Look at temperature here, that 2012, look from February to March, how big that was. My plants flowered at 50% bloom almost 3 weeks sooner than normal. And so it really affected things there. You can see that in the days of flowering, look at 2012. And I think also what happened during that time period, we had this early flowering, shorter plants, and then we had our typical weather back in April, and a lot of those got frosted and affected the pod development. Other things were lost because of that, which caused the lower yields. So in summary, 40 site years, 70% we got to harvest, which, you know, I think that's pretty decent for something new and you haven't grown in the area. If you look only from 2005, when we switched to the performance trial seed data that Kansas State puts together, 80% the success rate in harvest. If you look at the overall yield means from that later 2005 to 12, we're at 2,600, but basically 2,700 pounds. And then, of course, that's the overall yield range. You look at the range, 1,700 to 4,000 if a person's trying to decide whether to grow canola. So my conclusions is I would say, yes, we do have varieties that are adapted to Ohio, and a farmer can expect decent yields. For us, it's that fall stand that all many of you talked establishment. To me, it was not winter kill issues. It's do you get the establishment before the winter. If I have weak stands going into winter, I'm going to lose them in the winter. If I have strong stands, so to me, it's not genetics there. It's strictly in wet conditions. This cannot take wet conditions. Got to have good drainage. As we look at it, if a producer is comfortable growing alfalfa, red clover, small legumes, they can grow canola. It's not like wheat. It does not tolerate water well, and that's our biggest challenge, is making sure we don't have wet field conditions. Future limitations, planting date. For us, it's got to come in around Labor Day, so it means we can only follow wheat. Wheat acres have been dropping, so you can't follow corn or soybeans, so it's harder to get in a cropping cycle. And still for us, it's the market. Our nearest market's Windsor, Ontario. And so you do the economics, even if you can grow it, it's expensive transportation to deliver. But I do think the crop's adapted, and I think it could do very well in Ohio if we get the crushers. Questions? Yes.
What's your typical winter wheat yields in these areas?
Anywhere from 60 to 110 bushels, depending on the year. Yes?
In the last few years where your canola yields were bad, how did your wheat yields compare?
The question was those 2 years where the canola yields were significantly lower, how did the wheat yields do? Well, in 2012, they were actually fine. Because it was a dry year, and of course wheat does much better in a drier environment, and so we actually had some decent quality in 2011. It was a disaster for wheat because it was too wet also in there too, so we had a lot of problems with wheat. And I think it's just that early flowering, the early bolting is what really nailed the 2012 canola. If we wouldn't have had that and then the April temperatures drop, I think we would have really good yields in canola too. That's a problem Kentucky a lot of times deals with, is a later frost coming here if the plants are too far along.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.